So we're going to get going here. So yearly cycle wise, getting into December here, we're starting the new month, but we're also in the feast of Hanukkah. So the eight nights of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a reminder for us to let your light shine bright. God took one night's worth of oil to light the temple, and he did the miraculous, made it last for eight nights. And so Hanukkah is a reminder that God can take the little bit that we have, and he can do the miraculous with it. And so we can apply that into our, as we're talking about tonight, into our individual purpose. Sometimes it looks like we don't have enough. And truth be told, we probably don't have enough to fulfill what God's put us here to do. But we're supposed to be doing it in partnership with him, and nothing's impossible for him. And so it's this interesting thing in Hanukkah. They start with, on the first night, they light one candle. On the second night, they've got two candles lit. Then the third night, three. And so the light is growing brighter and brighter every night. It's a reminder for us. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be expanding. There's always another level to keep progressing to. And as we talked about over the last couple of weeks in the daily communion meditation, I believe it was today, is, you know, looking back at how far you've come. So just looking back over the last year, you just take a second here just to kind of reminisce. Look how far God has brought you over the last year. Look at all that he's done. And remembering, God is progressive. He wants to expand. He wants to do more in 2022 than he did in 2021. He wants to do more, both growing in your relationship with him, but also seeing the fruit of it growing and multiplying at a greater level. So we're going to do some big picture of purpose tonight. And then week by week, over the next several weeks, we're going to be breaking down this area of purpose, kind of working from the inside out, talking about the spiritual aspect of purpose, some mindsets and emotional aspects of it, and then practical things to be walking out, so that hopefully we get to this place by the end of December where we're extremely clear. We're going to do some seeking after God on this. What is the plans and purposes, maybe big picture, that you have for our lives? Get more clear on that, to expand that vision to another level. And also just seeking, what's the vision? What's the plan? What's the direction for this next year of 2022? So a few things on purpose. So God has a unique purpose for each one of us. He's got a unique purpose for each one of us that's, think of it, it's custom just for you. Keep it in mind, God doesn't like to build with bricks. He likes to build his house with stones. In 1 Peter, it says that we are all like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Jesus is said to be the cornerstone. He's said to be the capstone. It's not built with bricks. In the Old Testament, we see God doesn't like bricks very much. In the story of the Tower of Babel, the first thing the people say is, hey, let's make bricks. And let's heat them thoroughly, and then we're going to build a tower that reaches up to the heavens. And God ends up destroying their tower. God tells the people, don't make any altar for me made out of bricks. When the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, their job was to make bricks. That's how they oppressed them, was to make them bricks, have them make bricks. Bricks are all the same. They're made by man by conforming into a mold and putting pressure on them to conform. But stones are all unique, and they're made by God. And so we have this unique purpose that we're meant to find it, and we're meant to fulfill it. But it takes seeking after God. Jesus says, seek and you will find. It's going to take some seeking after him. Part of the reasoning for this purpose, you got something to find, something to fulfill. But as you have to seek him, as you have to press in more to him to find it, you get to know him better. It builds your faith, and you get to know him and his heart that much, much more. But he's got this amazing plan for each of our lives, and it's hidden in him. It's also hidden in our hearts. And the amazing thing is, he wants us to find it. He wants us to fulfill it. David says, I believe it's in Psalms 136, that God will fulfill his purpose for him. So it's this interesting thing. God has made you with this unique purpose. He wants you to find it, and then he's going to help you to fulfill it. That's what he created you for. He wants you to find it. He wants you to walk it out. He eagerly desires that. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 5, says that our purpose is in the deep waters of our hearts. It's in the deep waters. It's down there deep. It's in that living water that we talked about. We talked about, this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has for you. Everything that God has, He's put it in Christ. He's put it in there, in these deep waters. And your purpose is part of that living water that begins to flow. And one of the ways we pull it out, Proverbs 18:5 says we pull it out of our hearts with our words. We pull it out of our hearts with our words. That could be prayer. That could be time speaking to God. It could be times where something just comes out of you you weren't expecting. Just something comes out of you that you weren't expecting. You speak it, you're like, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? Could be praying in the Holy Spirit is a great way to pull things out of the deep waters of your heart. But it's going to take some searching to pull that. And we're going to talk about some ways specifically to maybe pull that out of your heart over the upcoming weeks. But it's down there in the deep waters. And this purpose is going to set you free. It's going to get you broken free from trying to fit into that mold of being like everybody else. It's going to set you free. But the issue is to break free and to do things differently than other people is a little scary. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take a commitment on our part to make it happen. Now, one of the aspects of what makes your purpose unique is what we call stacking. So imagine you only got a couple of different kinds of Legos, but you can combine them in all sorts of different combinations, and you can make all sorts of different things. So it's the way your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your stories, your experiences, it's the way all of those stack upon one another that make your gift, make your purpose unique. There might be plenty of people, in my case, that maybe write books or do videos or do things about the Bible or do things about health and fitness. But for me personally, I'll use myself as an example. It's the way those things stack upon one another. The combination of them is what makes it unique. And the same is true for all of us. It's that combination of how your gifts and talents and stories and experiences all combine and stack upon one another that makes it unique. Because you have a different perspective. You have a different angle toward things than anybody else in the world. God made you to be the best in the world at something. He created a job that only you could fill. Nothing would make him happier than for you to find that and to walk it out. Now, some criteria. How are we going to know when we find this thing? It's going to combine your gifts, your talents, your experiences, your stories, the things that you've been through in your life. God's not going to waste anything. Nothing you've been through will be wasted. He's going to use everything and work it all together for good. Now, there will probably be some examples where your weaknesses will also play a role. Things that you didn't think you would be doing are going to play a role. For example, God asked Moses to go speak to the people. Your weaknesses may play a role, but those are going to be areas where God shows off. He's your partner, and those are going to be areas where you're weak, He's going to be strong, and everybody's going to know that it was God flowing through you because they don't remember you being able to do that aspect of things. But again, that's going to take some courage and some commitment on our part. And sometimes that seems a little scary, but my experience is that's often as you go a little further with Him, as you get down the road a little further, He starts to talk to you about, hey, we're going to do some of these things that you never thought possible. It's going to help people. It's going to be a blessing to people. It's going to somehow be a blessing to other people. It's going to be bigger than you. You're going to need other people's help to be able to walk it out and to be able to fulfill it. It will probably also be multi-generational. You probably won't be able to finish it all. You're going to have to pass it on. You're going to have to pass the torch to the next generation, more than likely. And in those areas where you're weak, like we said, God's going to cover your weaknesses. He's going to be strong in those areas. So this is some criteria we can be thinking about as we begin to seek Him on these things. Now we're going to develop it. You've got this gift. You've got this gift to offer the world that is unique to you. We got to find it, and then we got to cultivate it. You got to develop it. And the world is waiting for it. They need it. They're waiting for it, and they need what you have. And so we got to go through this process where we learn quickly and we develop it at an accelerated rate if possible. It's going to take some time, but we want to go as quickly as we can. So part of this is God's going to give you, when you find this thing, when you get clear on it, he's going to give you this zeal on the inside. He's going to give you this desire. He's going to change your desires where you just have this desire to diligently study, to diligently practice, to diligently just learn and grow at a greatly accelerated rate. And when you get this vision, some of this, we got to use our imagination. We got to begin to dream and think and imagine with God. And as you begin to get this vision, it stimulates hunger on the inside. But you got to watch out, because there's one big thing that steals hunger and vision. It's condemnation. Self-condemnation. I'm not good enough. I can never do that. Moses, I'm not a good speaker. I can't go do that. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the capability. All the reasons why not can quench out that fire before you ever get started. All the reasons why not, you got to get rid of. And you got to ask this question. Most people will say, well, how am I going to do that? How is that ever going to happen? That doesn't sound possible. And you're asking the wrong question, I've learned. The question is not how, but who. Who's going to help me make that happen? And the answer is God. God put that in there. He's going to help you. And once you deal with the condemnation, then it's going to take some courage to take those first steps. It's going to take a burst of courage to get started, to start practicing, to start growing and developing and refining and mastering this gift that you have. That's where you're going to have to work that easy strength principle that we talk about, where you just show up and you consistently practice and practice and practice and practice as you refine that gift. And the more you practice, you're going to develop capability. You're going to get more skilled, and your capability is going to grow in it. And then as your capability grows, you're going to develop confidence. Not confidence in yourself, but confidence in what God can do through you. As you develop that courage and you take action, you can develop that capability, but you're also tapping into God's capability. And you're learning to trust in that more, and you eventually get to this place where you're confident in him. That's where we got to put that easy strength principle into practice, where you just show up and you have consistent practice regularly, every day. Just keep practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing until you begin to master those skills. It's going to require some perseverance. It's going to help grow your consistency and your discipline and your balance and your self-control. It's going to grow your character as you walk this thing out. And then every new skill, every new thing that we want to master has a language. One of the first goals, if we're learning something new, because God's going to have you master some new skills along the way. One of the first goals is to master the language. For example, if you want to grow in the world of health and fitness, you got to learn about squats and deadlifts and power cleans and pull-ups, and you got to speak that language. You want to grow in nutrition, you got to learn carbohydrates and micronutrients and vitamins and macronutrients and all these things. You got to know what those things are. You want to grow in marketing, you got to know what ROI and sales letters and retargeting and all these types of things are. You got to learn to speak that language. But thankfully, you've got God and the Holy Spirit who can help you speak any language. He can make you fluent in a hurry. And then we got to master the fundamentals. Most any skill you want to master, we were talking about it last week with Dana with wrestling. Any skill you want to master just has a few basic fundamentals. Just a few basic fundamentals. Seek God on what those fundamentals are. What are the 3, 4, 5 things that I just need to master these and keep drilling these things over and over and over again? And then master those fundamentals. Seek God. You could also seek out a mentor or a coach. And if they've already been down that path before, they can say, hey, these are the 3 things you need to master. And as you go through this process, usually when you first start out, everything's very simple because we're just working on the basics. But then you go through this middle phase where everything gets more complicated, everything gets more complex. And that's where you're developing the understanding of how all the pieces fit together. And the same is true with our walk with God. It starts off simple and then it gets kind of complex and messy in the middle. But then when you get to the other side, you move to this place of simplicity on the other side of the complexity, where you see and you understand all the connections and patterns and how things fit together. And it becomes something much more simple and elegant and beautiful. Now, one of the other important keys to our purpose is the principle of access. So as a good story, one time I heard the story of a guy who was a business mentor who was big on this principle of access. And he had a guy come up to him in a live seminar and said, "Hey, we're trying to build this factory, this manufacturing facility, and it's going to cost us about $10 million to build it." He goes, "How can we raise this money to build this factory?" He said, "You don't need to build the guru instructor guy said, "You don't need to build a factory. You don't need to raise $10 million. And the guy's like, "Well, we want to have this manufacturing. We want to be able to produce these products or whatever it is." He goes, "Yeah, but you're thinking the wrong way. You don't need to build a factory." He goes, "Who already has one? Who already has a factory already built, already ready to go, that they're not using maybe in the middle of the night? They would let your company come in and use it. And you can just split the profits with them because they're not using that equipment during that time anyway." And so the guy put this into practice, didn't cost him any money out of pocket to get started, started using this other manufacturing facility and produced millions of dollars of profit. And the two companies both benefited. They both came out ahead, all based on this principle of access. Who has the time, the knowledge, the resources, the finances that you need that would give you access, that wants to help, and maybe you partner with them in the process? Now, the highest level of this principle is with God. God's given us everything he has in Christ: his wisdom, his knowledge, his resources, his time, his presence, his finances. You find this gift that he created you for, and it's all available for you to help you. He's backing it. It's all there waiting for you to access as you get going with him. Now, what's the path look like? In my own experience, here's what God's taught me. The path to your purpose, three phases: be fruitful, multiply, and increase greatly. Be fruitful, multiply, increase greatly. Be fruitful. Produce something. Have a testimony. Have a product or a service or a book or a song or some kind of experience or service that you provide. Produce something that's really helping people. Get results for yourself or a small group of people. Something that's really making a difference. Something that people really like. Produce something. And just our relationship with God. Produce fruit. Have a relationship that's producing fruit with God. And then we got to go in, we got to begin to multiply it. How could you multiply it? How could you replicate it? How could you duplicate it so that you could get it out there to more and more people? For example, you got good ideas. You got good ideas that are helping people. You got to multiply that into a book or a course or an audio book or something that you can get out there to more and more people that takes you out of the way. How could you multiply it? You write a song. You produce a song. Now I got to multiply it. I got to get it into MP3s and digitize it and get it out there into forms that people can listen to all over the world. You create an invention. You produce an invention. You get a working prototype that's really working. Now we got to multiply it. We got to be able to replicate it and duplicate it so that we can get it out there all over the world. Be fruitful. Then we got to multiply. You got to replicate it and duplicate it. And then you got to figure out how to increase it greatly. This is all coming as gifts of grace by God. You don't have to figure it out. He's going to help you do these things. How do you increase it greatly? Where you get it out there to increasing numbers of people, and it becomes a community around it. This is the path that I believe he takes us on. But remember, the path to purpose bends. Light bends. And so often it's going to look like we talked about in the time blueprint over the last month. Light bends. He often takes you on the curved, longer path around. And it looks like you're going the wrong direction. And it's often as you curve around that you're developing. He's given you the time to grow and to develop your understanding of how this thing really works. And God often takes us on what I call the hero's journey. In movies, you see this path that most great movies follow this script. There's some hero that you meet in the beginning of the book or the movie or whatever it may be, the story. And he gets a goal. He gets a vision, something that he wants to accomplish, something he wants to do. And he usually gets a mentor, a sidekick, something like that, to assist him along the way, to teach him and train him and help him grow. So we meet God. He gives us this vision for our lives. And he says, I'm going to go along with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to help you grow along this path. And from that point on, the hero is on two different journeys. He's on an internal journey to grow in his character, his or her character, to grow more consistent and disciplined and patient and more self-controlled in our walk with God, learning how to stay consistent under pressure, learning to keep staying in love and giving other people grace, even when they wrong us. We're growing internally as a person. And that internal path, from the time you get started, as you start moving forward, it's just consistent growth. You can feel that growth and change happening on the inside of you. But then the other part of the journey, the hero's two journeys, there's the internal and then there's the external. The external part of the journey is like this. It's up and down. It's hills and valleys. Seems like you're about to break through and then you go back down. Seems like you're about to break through, then you go back down. And it's going like this until eventually it seems like the bottom kind of falls out often. And that's where God takes over and he just catapults you up to the next level in a hurry. You see this is the path Jesus takes, right? It's going on the path. All of a sudden, he's dead. God raises him back up 3 days later. Everything has changed from that point on. Joseph, growing as a person, he's going through all kinds of trials and tribulations till eventually he gets put second in charge of all of Egypt. David's going on a very similar journey. Peter's going on a very similar journey. God takes us through this hero's journey. And he gets us to this place. A lot of people use this word convergence, where it's like everything comes together at the perfect time. And God just begins to increase it greatly. He begins to accelerate you greatly. And all along this path, there's going to be times where we miss it, times where we get off track. And it's going to be God's gentleness that makes you great. He's taking you on this path to greatness, but it's going to be his gentleness that makes you great. To be great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to become the servant of many. But to become the servant of many, we got to be fruitful, multiply, and increase greatly. And it's going to be his gentleness to just lead you so gently along that path, where you know he's with you all along the way. Even in those times where there's the ups and the downs, you know he's there with you. And this path to purpose, it's one of the greatest things I think that can grow your faith. As you step out in this and you take that courageous step, it grows your faith. And it gets you to this place where your faith has works. You're exercising and applying. This is going to take a commitment on our part to walk out this purpose that God has for us. So we're going to take communion, just asking for God's help over this next month to help us. If we already know what the bigger purpose for our lives is, just to help us get clear on what the next steps are, what the direction is for this next year. If you're unclear on what that big picture purpose is, we're going to be asking for his help to get clear on that as we take communion tonight. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. You've given us purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time ever began. You got this amazing purpose for our lives, Lord. It's unique to each one of us. And I'm just asking for your help tonight to help us to get greater and greater levels of clarity and all on all that you created us for. Help us to get clear. Help us to refine our gift at an accelerated rate. Help us to be fruitful and multiply and increase greatly. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, "Take it. Receive it," that it makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. And he's got this amazing purpose. It's going to set you free in ways that you've never even imagined before, more and more than you've ever imagined. Just take seeking after him to get clear on this, and seeking after him for his help to help us to refine it, to help us grow along this path. And Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. So this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. I believe as you walk this out, you experience all that he had prepared for you before time ever even began. Good things for you to walk in. It's going to help you to know his heart and his kindness and his goodness and his gentleness. That much more. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice.